Tabitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamaiham Tadati svapadantikam. So I'm happy to be here on the appearance day of the Bhagavad Gita, and I'll give a summary. Of course, summary means short, otherwise there's no reason to give a summary. So I'm not going to take very much time. There are 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. And generally, the 18 chapters are divided into three different sections. The first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, as Prabhupada writes in one purport, the living entity is described as non-material spirit soul who's capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different kinds of yogas. Therefore, the first six chapters deal with the different kinds of yogas that can bring us to the point of understanding and appreciating devotional service. And the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita deals with pure devotional service. And the last six chapters deal with jnana, or the knowledge that we need to keep us fixed in our devotional service. Maya is always trying to discourage us, so therefore we need knowledge to keep us and not become deviated. Of course, we know first chapter is called Observing the Armies on the Battlefield of Kurukshetra, where the scene is set. Arjuna, after looking over his relatives, decides not to fight. Arjuna is obviously under the illusory energy, identifying himself with his relatives. In the second chapter, a contents of the Gita summarize, Krishna gives us a hint of karma yoga, jnana yoga, and something about bhakti yoga. And there he begins to explain to Arjuna the difference between matter and spirit, as well as the vana anashram, beginning with Swadharmam apichavaksham, navigam pitum arhasi, dharmyana yuyanyanshayanyak, kshatriyasyanavidite. Considering your specific duties as kshatriya, you should know, happy the kshatriyas, O Partha, to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening to them to the doors of the heavenly planets. Therefore, the concept of duty is introduced. Krishna begins first with Sankhya, the difference between matter and spirit, and then introduces the concept of duty. And then Krishna introduces slightly the understanding of bhakti, that we should apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudyam apa pravishanti advat tava karmiyam pravishanti sarve sachanti mapnauti nakama kami. That a person who is not bewildered by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, and alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So the idea of being in Krishna consciousness so that one is experiencing a higher taste, and by that higher taste not becoming disturbed by the incessant flow of material desires that are arising out of our past karma. Therefore, it's called a summary, beginning with the second chapter, beginning with explaining the difference between matter and spirit, the qualities of the soul, such as Nainam Chandanti Shastrani, Nainam Dahati Pavaka, Nachainam Kaleda Yantyapo Nashoshiti Marata. The soul can't be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor worrisome by water, nor withered by the wind. Avyaktoyam Achintyoyam Avikaryam Uchite Tesmarevam Viditvainam Nanu Shoshiti Marasi. The soul is insoluble, unbreakable, etc. Then up to the point of doing our duty, and if we do our duty, we can become neutral to the happiness and distress of material existence. Sukha duke sme kritva lava lavo jaya jyo tato yudhyaya dujyasva yo karma sukha naivam papam hapsasi. And then we come to the point where Krishna explains about doing our work without attachment, finally bhakti yoga, fixing the mind on the Supreme, And then Arjuna apparently is confused in the beginning of the second chapter, where he says, Arjuna vacha jayasi chet karmanaste mater bhuter janardana tat kim karmani gore mam yojayasi keshava. That my intelligence is bewildered by your equivocal instructions, because Krishna, first of all, seems to tell Arjuna to realize that you're a soul and to stop fruitive activity. Do your duty, but stop fruitive activity. And then he tells Arjuna to wake up and fight. So Arjuna seems confused. Is he supposed to do his duty, or is he supposed to stop and become inactive? So Arjuna says, Jayasi, why you ask me to do this horrible work if you think that intelligence is better than fruitive work? In other words, Arjuna thought that Krishna consciousness is something like going to a secluded place and meditating. He didn't realize that activities in Krishna consciousness are not on the material platform. So Krishna answers that question in the third chapter, explaining that all living entities, they have to do something. Nahi kaschit chenam api jatu tishtati karma krit karyate yavasha karma sarva prakriti jagunai. That all living entities are forced to act helplessly according to the three modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So we have to be active. Now the question, what kind of activity? So Krishna says that generally self-realized persons, they also have no reason to do activity in the material world. But they do it, just like Janaka Maharaj, Kamanaivahi Samsidi, Asita Jadakanaya, Loko Sangharam Evapi Sampashankartu Maharsi. Even like kings like Janaka and others, they did their duty just to set the example for others. So even if we think that I'm a self-realized person, there's no need for me to do my duty, but Krishna says that even such self-realized persons, they also do their prescribed duty just so that people in general will follow in their footsteps. Because, and even Krishna himself comes and personally does his duty just so people can follow his example and not become misled by the demands of their senses and mind. Because otherwise, Krishna says, when people become misled by the demands of their senses and mind, when they don't do their duty, the result is vana sangskara, sankara, which is unwanted children, and unwanted children not properly educated or trained, and they grow up simply creating a disturbance in society. Then Krishna explains that not only one should do one's duty, but one should perform some kind of sacrifice. Well, let's say. So he goes from up to the point where Prakate Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha Ahankara Vimudatma Karta Hamiti Manyate. That the bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes, thinks himself to be the doer activities, which are actually carried out by the three modes of nature. In other words, we can become an instrument. We ourselves are not the doer of the activity, but we're the desirer. And when we desire to fulfill Krishna's desires, then we become free from the illusion of thinking ourselves to be a material body. But when we desire to fulfill the desires arising from the senses and mind, then we remain attached to the mundane platform. And tattvavittu mahabaho gunai karma vivagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matvana sajate. That one who's when knowledge of the absolute truth almighty armed doesn't engage himself in the senses or in sense gratification, knowing well the difference between fruitive results, work for fruit results, and working for the Supreme. Then the Krishna says, even you try to do your duty, but you don't do it perfectly, still whatever progress you make is beneficial. On the other hand, if you give up your duty and you just act whimsically, then you won't obtain anything auspicious by such activities. Then he says, Sadvisham Chetaso Yasu prakritir gyanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim kurishyase. That even a person, he wants to do something other than his duty, but even if he does that, he's not going to be ultimately very successful. Even he tries to repress his real duty and try and do someone else's duty. One should try to do his own duty. And then Krishna says, Indriyastindriyarsyarte raga dvesho vyavdesyacho. That attachment and aversion, the sense objects, they're felt by all living entities. But one should not try to come under the control of such attachment and aversion, because they're stumbling blocks in the path of self-realization. So we may like certain things, we might dislike certain things, but that shouldn't be the criteria for why we do things. The criteria should be what actually Krishna wants us to do ultimately, or if we're not sure what Krishna wants us to do, then we should follow our duty. What we understand our duty is coming from higher authorities. So then finally in this end of the chapter, Krishna says, well, near the end, he says, Svadharmam svatrayam svabhidhamo viguna paradharma sunisthitat trevaya parma bhaya paradharma bhayanaha shreyos svadharmam api shreyos svadharmam vijnanam paradharma sunisthitat shreydharme vijayam gyayak paradharma bhayavaha. That is better to do one's own duty, even if it's imperfect, than to follow someone else's duty. Destruction, the cause of one's own duty, is better, but to follow someone else's path is dangerous. In other words, Krishna, he wants us to do something with this body, and we follow it. Our duty, just that mood of following and being dutiful, will liberate us, dutiful to the Supreme. On the other hand, if we act even someone else's duty, we may think it's better, but we could, because we're not following the authority, therefore we won't make any progress and we may get into a lot of trouble. So then Arjuna asks Krishna the famous question, Ata kena pruyukto yam papam charati purusha anicham api varshneya baladiva niyojita. My dear Krishna, by what force is one impelled to do things that are sinful against one's duty? So then Krishna says, Karma Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudbhava, Mahashana Mahapap, Mahavidinam, Ihavarina. That it's lust only, Arjuna, which is the all devouring sinful enemy of this world, and later turns into wrath. In other words, we're being impelled by material desire, and material desire doesn't stop there. When it's fulfilled, then it turns into greed. And when it's unfulfilled, eventually it turns into anger, which turns into delusion and forgetfulness. And then we forget. We can't see things properly. We invent our own world because we live in a world of illusion without real intelligence. And then Krishna says, Maya has two qualities, Aviratmika Shakti and Prakatmika Shakti. So one quality of Maya is that it covers the living entity. Vimena Vriyate Varnira Avritam. Just like the dust is covered by the amira is covered by dust, the embryo is covered by the womb, or a fire is covered by smoke, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. In the animal life, then it is compared to the embryo covered by the womb. The child is in a very difficult state, can't even move, completely bound up by its circumstances. A little bit more than that, a little less difficult, is compared to the mirror covering the dust. And then the human form of life is fire covered by smoke, because if the fire is handled carefully, it can blaze, and then the smoke will go away. So that's Avaratmika Shakti. We're covered. We misidentify ourselves with this body, and therefore we become implicated in material activities. And then,
All right.
Avritam jnana etena jnanino nityavarina kamarupena kuntiya dusprena analena cha. Thus the man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So we're covered by lust already. It's not that if we do something wrong, we'll be covered by lust. We're already covered by lust. That's why we misidentify ourselves with the body. And it's always impelling us. Therefore, unless we engage ourselves in Krishna service, therefore we're sure, as soon as we stop engaging in Krishna service, at once the material nature will begin directing us in its service. And therefore it was advised, Indriyasya Nuryasya Arte, Raga Dvesho Vyudasya Cha, Toriyarna, Indriyana Manobudhira, Yan Manobudhiyate, Tadasya Harati Pragya, that's not right, Indriyani Manobudhira, Asya Dishtam Uchite, Eteravi Mohat Yatyesha, Gyanama Vritti Dehinam. The senses, the mind, the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of living entity and bewilders him. In other words, Krishna has given us hints where the enemy lies and how to conquer the enemy. The enemy lies, first of all, it begins with a hearing process. When you hear about the glories of sense gratification, then the mind and the senses become the repositories of lust. And then when the soul desires to fulfill the lusted desires that are arising from the body and the mind, then it creates a false ego as a water to the soul, and his intelligence becomes lusty. And therefore, lusty intelligence influences the spirit soul to acquire a false ego by which he misidentifies himself with the mind and senses for sense gratification. Then Krishna gives us the solution, Tasma Tvam Indriyan Yado Nyanyam Bhavatvara Tarshava Patmanam Prajihyenam Gyana Vigyana Nashinam. Therefore, O Arjuna, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. In other words, when we do our service for Krishna, then when Krishna is pleased, when we come in contact with him, then by the higher experience of Krishna consciousness, then we become unattached to the demands of the mind and senses, because we practically don't even perceive them. Or gradually, progressively, we perceive them less and less, and by the fire, by the spiritual ecstasy of coming in contact with Krishna, gradually all these unwanted material desires are eliminated. And then, so Krishna summarizes the chapter by saying, Evam bhude puram bhudva samstabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatru mahabaho kamarupan durasadam. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental, the material senses, mind, and intelligence, O Arjuna, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. In other words, we ourselves as souls, we have a choice. We hopefully have a choice. If we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we can find out what our choices are. Namely, at every moment we have the choice either to engage ourselves in Krishna service, or as soon as we stop doing that, then our mind and senses will carry us away by their demands. If we have contact with Krishna, by the happiness and the spiritual enlightenment we get from being in contact with Krishna, then we can remain aloof from the demands of the senses and the mind. But as soon as we lose our contact with Krishna, then once the demands of the senses and mind take over, and therefore we become forced to act according to the modes of nature, whether they're in goodness or in passion or in ignorance. So in order to acquire that knowledge, which will keep us in Krishna consciousness, Krishna explains the fourth chapter. And in the fourth chapter, he more or less tells Arjuna that I'm God. And that if you understand that I'm God, which is the whole idea of the Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yove iti tatvataha tyaktvadeham punarjanma naitimam eti sorajana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not upon leaving this body take birth again in the material world, but attains my transcendental abode. So, by factually coming in contact with Krishna through the process of Krishna consciousness, then the result will be that one will actually understand who Krishna is and what's the nature of his existence as compared to material existence. Then Krishna says, Vitaraga Vayakroda Manmayama Upashitya Bhavagana Tapasa Putamadvam Agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. By becoming absorbed in Krishna consciousness, one gets transcendental knowledge and eventually develops love for Krishna. On the other hand, those who remain in their material conceptions of life are generally divided up to those who are materialists, who believe that there's nothing beyond sense gratification, that matter is everything. Those who are impersonalists, who believe that there's something beyond matter, but it's impersonal. Spirit is impersonal. And those who don't believe in matter and don't believe in spirit are just angry and frustrated. Therefore, those who are materialists, they certainly neglect spiritual life. Those who are impersonalists, they fear having a spiritual identity. And those who are voidists, they're certainly frustrated by the void conception of life. But to get free from these misconceptions, one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master, hear from him submissively, and then follow the instructions to gradually become conscious of Krishna, of which the last stage is said to be is bhava, or the beginning of transcendental love for Krishna. Then Krishna spends the other part of the fourth chapter explaining about sacrifice, that we have to sacrifice either for something material or spiritual. So he concludes that this best sacrifice is tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshanaha. Approach someone who's actually aware of Krishna by submissive inquiry and service, become Krishna conscious ourselves. And the result is we'll realize that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. Therefore, we won't think that they're my friends or my enemies, that they're my relatives, whatever else we may think. We'll think that everyone is actually eternally related to Krishna, and therefore one becomes interested in serving Krishna by helping to enlighten other living entities to become Krishna conscious. And then Krishna says that this is real knowledge, and by this knowledge it'll burn to ashes the reactions of all our previous activities. And he says, Shradavan labhate jnanam tatpara samitendriha jnana labha param shantim aktrena adigachati. That a faithful person who is absorbed in such knowledge and subdues his senses quickly attains the supreme transcendental peace. But on the other hand, agyas trashradanascha samshayatma vinashati nanyam lokastina paro nasukam samshayatma ha. Those who doubt the revealed scriptures go to ruin and perish. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So if you have no faith in Krishna as being God or his instructions, then certainly our lives will be unsuccessful. At the end of the fourth chapter, Krishna suggests or tells Arjuna, Tasma agara sambhutam ritstam jnana sanatmanaha chitvainam samshayam yogam atishto tishtavarata. That the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance, O Arjuna, should be slashed with a weapon of knowledge, armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. So he tells Arjuna that now you're in ignorance, therefore there's so many doubts that you're my servant or that others are my servant. But gaining this knowledge, knowing that you're my servant, you should find out what I want you to do and do it, and then all the ignorance in your heart will be slashed to pieces. You'll get out of the bodily concept of life, and you'll begin to realize your eternal relationship with me. Then in the fifth chapter, Arjuna questions Krishna as to whether the ultimate realization of his personal or impersonal. And Krishna explains in the fifth chapter the vision of his self-realized person, culminating in Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richati. That a self-realized person, he sees everything as being Krishna's property. And at the same time, he knows that everything is meant for Krishna's service. And that Krishna is the ultimate benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities. Therefore, Krishna is actually wants everyone to become Krishna conscious for their benefit. In the sixth chapter, Krishna, Sankhya Yoga, explains about the process of realizing him through the eightfold process. But at the end, Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shradavam lavate omam sameyuktatma mataha. That of all the yogis, he always abides me with great and transcendental faith, worshipping me in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, that he is the best of all the yogis, Krishna says. In other words, the best yogi is one who's constantly thinking about Krishna and serving him with great transcendental love and faith. And to come to that point, Krishna introduces in the seventh chapter, the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge of the Absolute Truth, where he says, Maya Saktamanat Parata Yogam Yunjan Manashaya Asamsham Samagramya Mama Yatagya Siti Tatshinu. Now hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. In other words, just by hearing from Krishna or from Krishna's representatives, our doubts can gradually be dissipated. They're dissipated when we hear from self-realized persons who can tell us how to practically work in this world to do some practical service for Krishna. And by such faith that Krishna is God and that we are his servants and doing our activities to please him, then everything is revealed. That is, everything is that Krishna reveals himself, and then we realize that we actually are Krishna's servants. It's not just a theory, it's a reality. Krishna spends part of the seventh chapter talking about the different ways of seeing him in the world: Rasa, Ham, Apsnu, Kuntia, Prabhasi, Shasi, Suryo, Pranava, Saravedeshu, Shabdike, Purusham, Rishu, Dharam, the taste in the water, the light in the sun and the moon, the syllable alone in the Vedic mantra, and the sound in ether and vili in man. Then he discusses different types of persons who perform sacrifice according to the Vedas, but don't understand Krishna very well, such as the demigod worshippers and the impersonalists. So for them, Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samavrita udayam nabijanati lokayam ajam avyam. That I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I'm covered by my eternal creative potency, Yoga Maya, and so the deluded world knows me not, whom unborn and inexhaustible. In other words, anyone who's attached to either sense gratification in some way or another, either in this world or in the spiritual world, then Krishna is covered from them. They can't understand Krishna properly. Therefore, but then Krishna says, Yesham antikatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanva maun nirmuktva bhajante mam dhrida vrataha. That those who have practiced the religious principles in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are free from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves my service with determination. Those who are atheistic, those who are deceitful, those who are sinful, and those who are foolish, they generally never take to Krishna's service. The Mudhas, the Maya Pritigyanas, the Asuram Bhavam Ashrityas, and the Naradamas. But if one is a little pious, then he begins following the Vedic process by practicing regular principles of religion. Then he rises up to the platform of performing pious activities, then conquering sinful reactions, acquiring knowledge about the Absolute Truth, engaging in devotional service, acquiring knowledge about the Supreme, then eventually meditating in trance upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and becoming perfectly conscious of Krishna. Then Krishna explains that this is especially in the eighth chapter, this is especially important at the time of death. That anta kale tamameva smaran mukva kale vram that one who quits his body remembering Krishna alone, he goes back to the spiritual world. He goes with Krishna. But yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajant yantikalevram tam tam evaiti kuntiya siddhatad bhava bhavitaha. On the other hand, a person who thinks of something other than Krishna, then they get that kind of body, whatever their thoughts are, which are determined by activities during this lifetime or other lifetimes. Then in the 8th chapter, well, Krishna goes on to explain about how there is a yoga process of realizing Him, meditating upon Him, fixing your mind upon Him. There is, and by such yoga practice, one can leave the body at the right time, or if one is not so expert, one will not leave it at the right time. But Krishna says, don't worry about that, just engage in devotional service, and this aspect will be taken care of, that the goal of all the Vedeshu Jagneshu Tapasu Chaiva Daneshu Yat Punya Palam Pradivyam Adyeti Tatsaram Vidam Viditva Yogi Param Stanam Upaiti Chadyam. That the aim of all these different processes, which is ultimately to be realized in Krishna, will be obtained just by devotional service. So in the 9th chapter, Krishna says, Idam tu te guyatamam pravakshamanu shuyave jnanam vijnanam saitam gyajyatva moshase shubha. He'll explain to Arjuna about devotional service because Arjuna is not envious of Krishna. And he says, Raja Vidya Rajaguyam Pavitramidam Uttamam Pravakshavargamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Aviyam. That this knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets, the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, is the perfection of religion, is everlasting, and is joyfully performed. And then Krishna explains in the 9th chapter about the process of pure devotional service, beginning with Mahatmanas Tumam Partha, Daivim Prakritim Ashitya, Vajanyanyanya Manaso Gyatva Buddhidim Aviyam. Now those who are actually devotees and absorbing the internal energy, they're always doing things like chanting Krishna's name, Satatam Kirtiyantam Mam Yatantasra Dridavrataha Namasyantasumam Bhaktyanituta Upasate. Chanting Krishna's name, bowing before Him, always engaged in His service, these devotees worship Him with devotion. This is sufficient to reach perfection. On the other hand, there are the pantheists that Krishna describes, who are Aham Krator Aham Jagna, Mantraham Aham Eva Jam Aham Agni Aham Hutam, Pitaham Asti Jagato Mata Data Pitamaha, Vedyam Pavitram Om Kara Riksam Yaja Evacha. Aham Krator Aham Jagna Swaraham Aham Oshajam Mantraham Aham Evajam Aham Agni Aham Hutam. About the pantheists who see everything as Krishna's energy. And then he talks again about the demigod worshippers, etc. And then he concludes that Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Ye Janai Pariupasate Yoga Shemam Bahamyaham. That there's no need for all this pantheism, demigod worshippers, impersonalists, etc. That simply, if you engage my service, meditating by my transcendental form, then I'll carry what you lack and preserve what you have. And he says, Patram Pushpam Plam Toyam Yome Bhakti Priyashati. You don't have to have anything, just the desire to please me. If you offer me a leaf, a flower, some fruit, some water with love and devotion, then I'll accept it. It's simply our relation with Krishna doesn't depend upon anything material, simply depends upon our sincerity trying to please Krishna. Then at the end of the chapter he says it doesn't matter who you are, even if you're sinful, if you're this or that, women, shudras, vaishyas, whatever, brahmins, whatever. Simply, manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mamnam skuru mame vaishasi yuktaivam atmaram matparayanaha. Just engage your mind thinking of me, engage your activities in my service, be surrendered unto me, completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. And then in the 10th chapter, we have the Chatur Sloki verses where Krishna says, I'm God, I'm the source of everything, the devotees glorify me for this, and therefore they tell others how to engage my service, And when others follow their instructions and consistently and enthusiastically engage my service, I give them more and more intelligence how to do that service. And when I become pleased with them, I purify their hearts, and then they become aware of me. And how do we? And then becoming aware of Krishna in this world means to see how everything is Krishna's energy. And Krishna explains in the 10th chapter some of the important energies he has. He says, beginning with Aham Atma Gurukesha Sarabhutai Shayasita Aham Adishtha Madhyam Cha Bhutanam Anta Evacha, that I'm the super soul. He begins with the super soul, aham Atma Gurukesha Sarabhutai Shaya Buddha, who's in the hearts of all living entities. I'm the beginning, the middle of all, end of all things. And then he ends the chapter with saying with Ataiva Bhavana Yad Yad Vibhuti Mat Satvam Srimad Orjitam Evava Tat Tat Eva Bhagacha Twam Mamate Jangsa Sambaha. But what is the need for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire creation. Know that all glorious Madi creations, they spring from but a spark of my splendor. And in the 11th chapter, Krishna personally manifests the universal form before Arjuna and tells Arjuna, Kalosmi lokashe kripravrido lokansamahartam iha pravritak vitepi twamnabha vishanti sarve evasita pratnukeshiyoda. The time I am, the destroyer of all worlds, I have come here to engage all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, everyone here on all sides will be slain. Therefore, the solution is Tasmat Yutishti Yashola Vasva Ditva Shatun Vuksham Rajan Samridan Mayavata Niyatam Puravameva Nimitra Matram Bhavasavasachi. Get up and prepare to fight, and after conquering your enemies, you'll enjoy a flourishing kingdom. There are Arjuna already put to death by my arrangement, and you can be. Ovasavasachin can be but an instrument for the fight. In other words, if we want to get out of material entanglement, we have to become very serious and surrender ourselves to Krishna's mission, to the activities of Krishna consciousness and Krishna's mission. And at the end, Krishna again displays his forearm form to Arjuna. Arjuna wants to see the universal form so that others can understand that not only theoretically Krishna claimed he was the universal form or the source of all the energies in this world, but he actually practically displayed it before Arjuna. And then Krishna summarizes again, telling Arjuna to engage in devotional service. Mad karma krin, mad paramo, mad bhakti. Mad karma krin, mad paramo, mad bhakti sangavarajitaha, nirvara sarvabhuteshu yaksamam eti pandava. My dear Arjuna, one who engages my unalloyed devotional service, freed from the contamination of previous activities and from fruit of activities, who is friendly to all living entities, he certainly comes to me. Then the 12th chapter, Krishna, Arjuna again asks him which is better. Now he's not asking about either fruit of activities or devotional service. He asks him personal realization or Krishna consciousness. And then Krishna tells him that actually, the best thing is to fix your mind upon me as a person. And he says, the best thing is to fix your mind upon me, engage all your intelligence in me. But if you can't do that, then follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga and gradually try to develop the desire to attain me. If you can't do that, then at least try and help the preaching movement, and that way you'll come to a higher stage, etc. And then he tells about the good qualities of the devotees, how they develop, and how by having the good qualities of devotees and Krishna, they become dear to Krishna. Now in the middle, that ends the middle six chapters, and in the last six chapters, Krishna explains about nature, enjoyer, and consciousness, how we're all spiritual beings, therefore we're the Krishna's spirit, we're a spirit, we're both conscious, now we're conscious of this body, and if we want to get out of the bodily concept of life, we have to develop qualities by using the body according to our psychophysical nature, but engaging in, especially in devotional service. Beginning with Amaditvam, Adamitvam, Hingsa Shanti Arjavam, Acharya Pasadam Socham Stiryam Atma Vinigraha. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence. By using the body in this way, gradually we come to the perfection of pure devotional service. And then at the end, Krishna says, Yata prakashya ekam krishnam lokimam ravi tata kshetrim kshetra tata krishnam prakashiti varata. Just like the sun is illuminating all the universe with its sunlight, so similarly the soul within the body illuminates the entire body by its consciousness. Therefore the soul, if he can understand who he is, kshetra kshetragyam evam antara jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha ye vidoryanti te parap. But when he becomes enlightened as to his spiritual nature and he can see the Supreme Soul, then even at the hour of death he can enter into the kingdom of God. In the 14th chapter, Krishna explains about the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, how the whole world is being conducted by those modes. But if we engage in devotional service, mam chaya vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate, sa gunan samatiti aitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. By engaging in devotional service, we transcend the modes of nature and come to the realization of Krishna, Brahman. Brahmano hi pratishtaham, amritasyavi vyasya cha, shasvatasya cha dharmasya, sukhasya kantikasya cha. And then, in the 15th chapter, Krishna says again that I'm God, that the universe doesn't go on accidentally, that everything comes from me, beginning with Ordva, Gachiti, Satvasta, Ordva, Malamadakshakam, Ashvatam, Prahur, Abhiyam, Jadamsi, Yasya, Parnani, Yasvam, Veda, Savedavit. That there is a banyan tree, has its roots upward and its branches down. In other words, that this world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And that if we look at it properly, we'll see Krishna's hand within everything. Beginning with Gamavisha Chabutani, or Yadaditya Tatajke Te Jo, Jagat Parse Vasya Te Kilam, Itchanamasya Yatste Do, Tat Vidi Mamakamika, Tat Te Jo Vidi Mamakam. That the splendor of the sun, the splendor of the moon, the splendor of fire, all these things are coming from Krishna. Gamavisha Chabutani, Darya Maham Odisa, Pushnami, Chosidi, Sarva, Samodhukta, Rasatkaha. That I enter the planets, and by my energy I supply the juice of life to all the vegetables. I enter into the planets, and by my energy they stay in their orbits. Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishto, matak smritir jnanam apoanam cha, vedaish cha saham aham eve vedyo, vedantakri vedavit eva chaham. That I am situated in everyone's heart, and everything, remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness comes from me. If you become my devotee, I help you remember me, and I help you forget material existence, and I give you all knowledge about what reality is. If you want to forget me, then I help you forget me, and I help you only remember your material conceptions, and you think your ignorance is actually progressive knowledge. Then at the end of the 15th chapter, Krishna says, Ya enam yo mam evam samudau janati purushottava sasarva vit pajante mam sarabhave navarata. That one who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything and therefore engages himself in pure devotional service. Iti goyatama shastram idam nyuktva mayanaga etad buddhva buddhipat sat krita krita shivarata. That this is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures, or Arjuna, that anyone who understands this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. Then in the 16th chapter, Krishna explains the difference between the demoniac and the divine, and he concludes the 16th chapter by saying, yakshastra vidim usrija avartite kamakarata asasidim avapnoti nasukam naparam gatim. That the one who gives up shastra and works whimsically can obtain neither peace nor perfection nor the supreme destination. Therefore, tasmat shastram pramanam te kya karma kartum viharasi. Tasmat shastram pramanam te. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vivastito gyatva shastra vidanaktam karma kartum viharasi. One should know what is duty and what is not duty by the scriptures. And knowing such duty, one should act so one can gradually become purified. Then Krishna answers the question at the end in the 17th chapter, the divisions of faith, about what's the destination of those who work with faith under the modes of nature. But ultimately, Krishna again concludes the chapter, which is more or less the final chapter, by saying that ashradayahutam datam tapastaptam kritam chayat asat ichushite parta na chate pratino hiha. That anyone who performs any sacrifice, charity, and penance without faith in the Supreme, then it's useless both in this life and the next. In other words, everything should be performed with faith in Krishna consciousness. And in the 18th chapter, Krishna again summarizes the Bhagavad Gita. He goes over Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and then he again comes back to Astanga Yoga. And at the end he says, Sarva Dharma Vrajaja Mame Kama Sharanam Vraja. Or he says, Manmara Bhava Madbhakto Madhyajim Nam Mamaskuru Mame Vaishasi Satyam Te Pratijani Priyosime. Again he repeats the same instruction again. Always think of me. Become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisances to me. The result is you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. And give up all the other types of activities, varieties of religion, and just follow my instructions. Don't fear. Don't hesitate thinking that I'll be missing something or Krishna won't be able to help me. But if you do that, then Krishna will take care of everything else. And his very last instruction is Ya idam paramam guyam madbhakteshva vidashati bhaktimayim puram kritva mamai vaishati samshaya achatasman manusheshu kasyame priya kritamaha bhavitana chatme tasmad anyak priyaturo bhuvi. That in this world, one who preaches my message that devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end, he'll come back to me. Then in this world, there's no one more dear to me than he, nor will there any be one more dear. So we preach Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's message, or assist those who are preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita, then we become very dear to Krishna, and devotional service becomes easy, and our progress becomes much more rapid. And then at the end, Krishna asks Arjuna if he's heard with rapt attention, which is the qualification for understanding Bhagavad Gita. And Arjuna said, yes, I've heard with rapt attention. I've understood what you said, and now I'm going to carry your orders and I will fight. And Sanjaya concludes that Yatira Yogeshra Krishna Yatra Partha Dunaradara Tatra Shira Vijayo Bhutira Dhruva Nitya Matira Mama. That wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, whether it was Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be victory, morality, and extraordinary power and opulence. That is my opinion. So anywhere where we follow Bhagavad Gita, we hear the message of Bhagavad Gita, follow its instructions, certainly all the good qualities of the demigods will be given to us. We'll be able to transcend material existence and revive our relation with Krishna and begin our real life again. So stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
What does it mean that the nine gates of the body become illuminated in the mode of goodness?
They become free from lust, anger, greed. Instead of looking around, seeing what we can enjoy here, we look around and see how we can serve Krishna here. Instead of tasting things out of lust, then we taste them appreciating how they were offered to Krishna. So they're not contaminated by material desires or conceptions. Well, other lives are in this life.
My question was, do mental illnesses such as like Alzheimer's, do they force you to live another life?
Since
at the time of death, you can't really make a decision on anything as you don't really have any knowledge.
Yeah, without becoming fully conscious of Krishna, then we have to come back.
But that's out of the control of the living entity.
No, it wasn't out of the control. They made their decision before that when they engaged in sinful activities.
Is sinful activities the cause of Alzheimer's disease?
Yeah, of course. It's the cause of all disease. Violating the laws of nature.
Really?
Truly.
Okay.
If you eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little, if you're not following the laws of nature, then if you're irregular in your habits or you're doing things you're not supposed to do, then you'll get sick. But they weren't so healthy. Yeah, anyhow, this body is karma. That's where it's coming from, our material activities, due to forgetfulness of Krishna. So whether you die from Alzheimer's disease, you die from a cold, you're going to die anyhow.
Yes. Kind of a follow-up question, because I've wondered that too. You know, if somebody does have a terrible disease where they can't think clearly, could that be karma from a previous life, maybe?
Both this life and previous life. This life is a manifestation of some of our previous lives. So if we don't correct what we're doing, and even if we do try and correct, material life means birth, death, old age, and disease. Everyone gets sick eventually, and they die.
So if somebody doesn't fully realize the purpose of a human life, they might come back in a different kind of human life or an animal body or something like that.
Therefore, that's why we're trying to suggest to people that they chant Hare Krishna. Read Bhagavad Gita.
Let's get it right this time.
Let's do better at least. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.